This show is presented by FL Teams. Check out flteams.com, your go-to one-stop shop for all Florida sports coverage. Also, check out FL Teams on social media. This is High Heat 305, Episode James, and welcome to the 11th episode of High Heat 305. And we are pretty close to football season, thank God. Before we talk about a little bit of piece of football, maybe a lot of football, we got to talk about the Marlins. And I swore an oath I would not talk about the Marlins, but this is the frustration that kind of boils throughout that I need to get things off my chest again. And for what I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to say, actually, Marlins officially hit rock bottom. They have officially at their peak, the lowest that they have been all season long. After getting close to the 500 mark that they were back in April, it started off promising. April, I wish we can have back for the Marlins baseball. I really do, because that was good baseball. Since May, they were lowering, they were going down, down, and eventually rock bottom. And I'm not talking about the wrestler, The Rock, who does the rock bottom move. I'm talking about at their worst have yet that has happened. So let's take a look at this. The Marlins, since past 6 weekends, either they get swept or they lose the series. We go back to July when they played against, I want to say, the Mets. So let's see here. The weekend of, yes, the Mets. So the four-game series, it started off not good. Then it would get to the split series when Alcantara is up there. We'll talk about Alcantara in a minute. But the Phillies, they got swept. They lost 2-1 on July 15th. They lost 10-0 on Saturday the 16th, and they lost 4-0 on the 17th of July. And by the way, this is after the four-game sweep against the Nationals in Washington, D.C. Then we got the Pittsburgh. We won the series. Then we got the winnable Cincinnati Reds. We still couldn't beat them. Then we got the Mets at Lone Depot. We got swept by them. So, all right, that's 2 weekends already. 2 weekends we got swept, right? Let's keep doing the math. The two weekends already, Phillies and the Mets got swept. The only time we won a series on a weekend was against the Pirates during that span. Because there was a quick break because of an all-star break. But that's it. Three-game series against the Mets, we got swept. So that's in July. Then we go to the next weekend, which is against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. We lost 2-1, 4-0, and we won 3-0. And we'll talk about that score. I promise we'll talk about the score. The next weekend, a four-game series against the Atlanta Braves at home. We got swept. The next weekend, the Dodgers. We got swept. 4 weekends that we got swept out of 6 weekends. Either one, we won the series, or two, we lost the series. Every other series, we have a four-game sweep in one of those. This is according to Craig Mish. Marlins are swept again. It's time. The Dodgers outscored only by 19-4 mark this weekend. In fact, get this. This is what I just point out. Get this. The last 6 weekends have resulted in the Miami being swept 4 times. They just don't play it well on the weekends. I have now solved all the problems. Quoted by Craig Mish. That's pathetic. Oh, here's the worst part of all. Alcantara, man, he got kicked the, I don't want to say a profane word, but he got kicked the crap out of in this Dodgers series. He gave up 6 runs. It's a season high. It's a season high for Alcantara. According to Peter Pratt, which I got to find. Peter Pratt, since 2021 All-Star break, this is 2021. This is last year. Sandy Alcantara against everyone else, 0.02 ERA. I don't know if it's a realistic number, but it seems pretty promising given the given a lot of innings pitches, a lot of shutouts, plenty of low-scoring games against Alcantara. And when he does lose, it's usually a low-scoring game because the batting has no run support. The Alcantara pitched very well. There's no run support. And even if it does have run support, it gets a good team. Sandy Alcantara against the Dodgers, 50.90. We were talking about him being the potential MVP and the Cy Young winner. The Dodgers made him look like a B word. And it's awful. It's an awful sight. And I don't care if we're in Los Angeles. I don't care. You played against a team like the Mets, you could still win the game. We can sweep a series barely on the road. We almost done that before. And get this, we're still on the West Coast. Back to where we started, the Bay Area. We played against the Giants this season at the Bay Area. We didn't win the series. And we go down to Anaheim. They're in Oakland right now. They're about to and Oakland's the big favorite. I don't care what the predictions said. They're a favorite. ESPN says Miami has -155% chance of winning against the Oakland Athletics, and I'm here to tell you right now they don't stand a freaking chance at all. Because after the Oakland series, they go back home to have a 4-game series against the Dodgers on a weekend. And then, to make matters worse, they got the Rays. They got the Tampa Bay Rays at home. To me, that's an automatic L because we can't play against the Rays with crap. I don't care if the Rays are on their downfall. They're not going to beat the Rays, the Marlins. They're not going to beat the Rays at all. And even if they try to, we got the Braves in Atlanta after. When they played against the Braves early this season, it was all the way back in April when they were actually good, when the Marlins were actually promising to watch and tolerable and fun to watch. Now, I'm not so sure anymore. The Marlins have roughly about 30 prospects waiting to be called up. Jordan Groshans, when we traded for from the prospects, he had himself a pretty good game. A doubleheader a few days ago. 4 for 6, 4 RBIs, 1 home run, and 1 ball. It came off of a former major leaguer, J.C. Mejia, who was sporting a 0.59 ERA coming into today. One of the guys said, call him up to the major leagues right away. Ooh, pretty early to say. It's pretty obvious they're not going to make the playoffs, the Marlins. The pitching is awful. When we play against teams, we have some winnable situations, and we still could not win. Like the Reds, for example. Alcantara is slow against the good teams like the Mets and the Dodgers, especially the Dodgers. And get this. Here's the worst thing. His start against the Dodgers again this weekend on a Saturday. I'm not confident about it at all. I'm not even planning to watch, to be honest with you. And if there's one thing I know, what we learned this year, is that it's officially a basketball city and a football city. Hockey was close, but hockey is getting better. At least with the Panthers, they're getting better. With the right ownership and the good signings that the Panthers did last season and the year prior. And, you know, we already spoke about the unbelievable, unexpected trade with the Matthew Tkachuk, with John Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. We already talked about that in episode 5. But my point here, everyone else is doing great. Literally everyone. Hornets is the only team in the South Florida region with Major League Sports that is pathetic. They really are pathetic. Problems here. Batting sucks. And then not to make the matters worse, the injury bug happened. The relief pitching is still at its worst. I'm shocked the relief pitch is not even at the top 5 worst. You know who's one of the worst relief pitchers in the league? The Nationals, the Giants, the Rockies, and the Angels. How is Marlins not on that list? How? I like to know why. Tanner Scott is inconsistent. Pablo Lopez is not the same. Daniel Castano got hurt with the comebacker to his head. Max Meyer got Tommy John surgery. Jazz Chisholm is out for the season. Luzardo coming off pretty slow. It's a mess. And there's a couple more things, too. We mentioned the players and the pitchers, right? When are we going to say it's Don Mattingly's fault? When? He can't coach anymore. I keep defending him. I feel like all of us are defending him. We're running out of ways to defend Don Mattingly, but I'm sorry. He's got to go. We need a new manager that can step up and actually talk baseball, back up the players, make the right moves, and take it seriously rather than just like this and watch them lose. There is no action. And even if there was action, it's a terrible action. Do you remember the series against the Phillies back in July when we had an advantage and they took out Alcantara with a couple of guys on? He could have easily got those players out. But no, they give it to a relief pitcher. I forgot who it was. And you know what? My point here, relief pitching sucks. Make those bad moves. And I'll say it again. And from my personal channel too. Relief pitching needs desperate help. And they're not getting the desperate help. In fact, they made it worse. They traded away one of our relief pitchers that can actually pitch. Anthony Bass to the Blue Jays in exchange for the prospect. The front office, I believe, is still the number one worst problem in the Marlins' history. The worst. The 1997 and the 2003 World Series team, they sold it all away. And they don't capitalize on the good team that Marlins fans are promised for. This general manager, the first lady in sports history to become an executive, doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She needs to go now. She is officially the clown. They're making memes about her, calling her a clown, has a clown emoji in her head. They have a lot to prove. This offseason, when the lockout finally ended, they said, we're going to sign players. We're going to spend money. We're going to make a good contender team. That's what they said this offseason. And I said to them, prove it. Prove that you can. And if you cannot prove it, you need to leave and give it to somebody who can do it. The executive cannot do it. Bruce Sherman, it's time to take action. And if you cannot take action and leave it the way it is and leave Don Mattingly to coach our team, my God, you, sir, need to sell this team and sell it to someone who's from Miami, who wants this team to compete, wants the team to make it to the playoffs consistently because everyone else is doing it. The Panthers are starting to do it. The Heat's been doing it. And the Dolphins are about to do it. Inter Miami's about to do it. You're the only one. Oh, and to make matters worse, we got the Hurricanes coming up. The Hurricanes basketball team, two of them, the women's and the men's, they made it to the March Madness. And let's not forget, the Hurricanes baseball team, they too made it to the playoffs. How is it that the college team is better than the Marlins? How? We'll never know. Because that is our front office. Anyway, let's talk about the Dolphins real quick. This is football talk. So we played the Raiders and we lost. Now, there's always some big reactions in a preseason saying the Super Bowl bailed or fire this guy or we're not going to be a good team because we play like this. I mean, first off, this is preseason. This is only preseason. You cannot get angry in the preseason. I'll be shocked if you do. But here's what's going on, all right? Tua Tagovailoa got a couple of interceptions, had some good darts. Tyreek Hill did not play, even though there was a promise that he was. But he didn't play. I guess they wanted to protect him for the regular season, which is good. Jalen Waddle did not play as well. But even without those guys, Tua threw 8 passes and converted 6 of them with 58 yards. And they were good passes, too. Accurate, spot on. And I just think that it's pretty good versus play this pretty good. Teddy Bridgewater also played pretty decently as well. Not as good as Tua. Definitely not as good as Thompson. We'll talk about Thompson in just a second. Teddy Bridgewater with 20 passes, 10 of them are converted, with 119 yards with a 6-yard average. There was a situation with Teddy Bridgewater. He got an offensive foul that resulted in Raiders' safety. So that is technically, that is not good. However, Skylar Thompson making a big name of himself in the preseason with 10 attempts, 9 catches, 129 yards for a touchdown. And one of those guys that we should talk about is Izu Kamna. If you want to look at another receiver to back up Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Chase Edmund, this is your guy right there, right in front of you. Zaquandre White also has a touchdown pass. It's hot, and let's be fair with the coaches. It's hard to choose a good player for a preseason. You're trying to make the name to make the team. It's tough, but when you're playing this good with 6 receptions, 114 yards, you impress the coach this good. You might just make the roster, and you're gonna help the team win. A game. Win games as well. We lost this game 15-13. That field goal that was hit upright, if that would have made left, we would have won the game for sure. But because it missed, Raiders got the victory. I'm already seeing like a little bit of panic saying that Tua is the reason, blah, blah, blah. First off, Tua didn't even play when that happened. And second of all, it's preseason. Come on now. And I don't get the Tua hate at all. I don't get it. I'm going to say it again. He was under a bad leadership. He didn't have a good mentor. Flores didn't believe in him. And the worst of all, when he got hurt, it was Jacoby Brissett. So it's not his fault. It really is not Tua's fault. And people are going to say it's his fault anyway because, you know, folks don't believe in Tua at all. This is the quote from King of Finland on Twitter. And I'm going to repeat it. I help people repeat after me. There should not be a single Dolphin fan who wants Tua Tagovailoa to fail. There should not be a single Dolphin fan who wants Teddy Bridgewater to fail. There should not be a single Dolphins fan who wants Skylar Thompson to fail. That's deep. That is deep. My point here, believe in Tua, because like it or not, he will be our starter, and he will make the Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle connections. And he's going to win us a football game, mark my words, because we said so. But still keeping on football, Miami football preview. We got the Hurricanes next weekend. Thank God. I am sick and tired of watching baseball because baseball has just been hard to watch. We got Bethune-Cookman. I don't even know what that school was. That's our first opponent, the Hurricanes. We got the Patriots for the Miami Dolphins the week after. And, you know, when I said Miami football, I'm not just talking about the Hurricanes or the Dolphins. Let's talk just a little bit about the FIU Panthers. They're a part of the Conference USA, Conference USA division. They're taking on this. So next week, September 1st, they're taking on a school called Bryant, Bryant Bulldogs. I actually watched that team play. The Bryant Bulldogs 5 years ago. It was in the school called Latner College. Bryant Bulldogs won the game. So I think Bryant Bulldogs might have an advantage. So FIU, least favorite in the Florida schools to, be competitive. But, yeah, that's where it was. They got a schedule for FIU against Texas State. Western Kentucky, New Mexico State, UConn, UTSA, Charlotte, Louisiana State, North Texas, FAU, UTEP, and MTSU. For the Owls, they start this Saturday, actually. Yeah, I'm shocked. They start this Saturday against Charlotte. Next is Ohio, Southeast Louisiana, and a big one. Big game, FAU versus UCF. One of these days, I want to have a conversation with another FL Teams contributor about the college football, but that's another day. Next is Purdue, North Texas, Rice, UTEP, UAB, FIU, MTSU, and Western Kentucky. FAU has a bitter advantage in FIU, and really, the big game is really the Battle of Florida. And I'm not talking about FAU-FIU. I'm talking about FAU versus UCF. Big game to watch. Unfortunately, I'm just barely missing that game because I have a flight to catch back home. Otherwise, no problem. I would have attended that game right off the spot. It is Boca Raton versus Orlando. But that's all about football. And I want to save the Hurricanes talk for another day. Come back Wednesday night. We got a good show coming on. Anyway, here's my question. Should the Heat have a Christmas game? My answer is, yeah, I feel like they deserve it. But the only reason why they don't have it because of the fact that it would potentially conflict the Miami Dolphins game. It would conflict the Miami Dolphins game because they play against the Green Bay Packers at 1 o'clock p.m. at week 16. 1 o'clock on Fox. Along with that is the Denver Broncos afterwards and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Arizona Cardinals. But, that's the big reason I could think of why they don't have the game on Christmas, because it would conflict the Miami Dolphins schedule. But I still think the Heat deserves the I still think they deserve the Christmas game. I really think they deserve the Christmas game. I think it was robbery. But I understand why. I personally understand why. But the teams that are playing on Christmas is Philadelphia 76ers versus the Knicks. We also beat the Sixers out of the playoff spot. Lakers versus Mavericks. Bucks versus Boston. Memphis versus Golden State. And Suns versus Nuggets. Here's what I don't understand. Denver Broncos are playing on Christmas Day as well. And get this, so is the Arizona Cardinals. The Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets are playing each other on Christmas. And yet they have a Christmas game. In fact, both sports, they have the Christmas game. So, and here's the kicker. Milwaukee Bucks also have a Christmas game. And also Los Angeles. So, Broncos versus Rams, and the Nuggets and Lakers also have a Christmas game. Buccaneers, Tampa Bay does not have a NBA team. I think there's also, but there is a basketball team in Tampa Bay. I think they're in a different league. I don't quite know. But they're playing against the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. Want to know who else is also in Arizona? The Phoenix Suns. They also play the same day as the Cardinals are, than the Denver Nuggets as the Broncos are playing. So, again, the understandable reason could have been that there would be a scheduling conflict for both teams. Then how do you explain the Nuggets, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Suns? Frankly, the Suns and the Cardinals, they're playing at the same, roughly almost the same time. So for them to say it conflicts the Heat and the Dolphins, I think now that is BS. I think it's crap. Let it be known. Miami Heat has been disrespected for a long time. This is no other exception. It is a robbery that should not be the case. It is unnecessary. If you want fairness, the Heat deserve some fairness. They were the better team than everyone. The refs were robbing us, and we still prevailed. And except for that one game in Game 7, pathetic. And to tell you the truth, I'm pissed. I think we deserve a Christmas game. If the Dolphins deserve it, so does the Miami Heat. Plain and simple. Enter Miami. Where are we in the playoff spot? We're at number 6. Last night, we were at number 5. Because of this, we won against the Toronto FC 2-1 on a very, very great game. Because G Mota scored first and Lorenzo Insigne for Toronto would score back, but Ariel Lasser would ultimately prevail the game. But the second half, it's been all defense and defense and defense. Around the league the same day, on August 20th. Other games are happening. We got the Red Bulls and Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati. We were chasing Cincinnati. We're trying to jump over with the win. The Red Bulls, frankly, did us a favor. We're also chasing New England, who lost against CF Montreal. The DC game's irrelevant. And really, the only game that matters is our game. We won the game. So we leapfrog everyone else to fifth place. Then the games happened yesterday. NYCFC versus Chicago Fire FC. Chicago lost, beneficial. There was a 2-2 draw with the Columbus, especially Columbus. That's the team that we're after, too. It's a 2-2 draw, so it benefits us more importantly. However, the only team that screwed us up is another team in Florida, Orlando City. They won 2-1 against Charlotte. That's the team. If there's any team that Inter Miami fans do not want to see them jump over back into ahead of them in the playoff spot, it's Orlando City. Inter Miami fans have a fury hatred towards Orlando City. Orlando City, since our expansion, dominated Inter Miami since the time that there was an MLS's back tournament. Out of all those matches, and there are about 7 of them I can think of, we only won 2. And both of them were at home. Meanwhile, one game they did win on the road. When we try to play against them on the road, it's our kryptonite. Either we get a draw or we lose. We never won a single game in Orlando at all into Miami history. And that is a frustration for Inter Miami fans. And to put the nail in the coffin here, they're back ahead of us. This time they're in 5th place when we covered 5th place. Now all bets are off because they played against NYCFC next Sunday, as well as this weekend, actually. Not next week, but this weekend alone. They play against NYCFC at Exploria. That's the name of the stadium. And Inter Miami plays against the New York Red Bulls, which most likely I will be at that game. Most likely. I'm not sure. But it's a big game for both Florida teams because both Florida teams are playing against 2 New York teams. One is the Red Bulls. One is NYCFC. If we really have to make the playoffs, A, we want Orlando City to lose. B, we have to win. Plain and simple. We had a slow start, and now we're finally back on track after considering this is a rebuild year. So that is where we're at. And finally, to end this off, Udonis Haslam returns for the 20th season. The OG is back, folks. And I personally think he should come back for a 20th season. Last season, his father passed away, and he kind of made a promise to him that he would come back for the 20th season to submit the legacy of Miami and the Haslam family. And he did just that. He made a decision when he went back to his old high school for a high school game. And he made a decision to come back and occupy the 15th spot. So congratulations to Udonis Haslam for being one of the only players in NBA history to reach 20th season. We love Udonis. There were some mixed reactions, too. I'm shocked. A lot of people are actually upset at this for saying that, he took the 15th spot for the developmental player. They were slandering Udonis. I'm like, what? Why would you slander an OG? Did you forget that he did more than just win us 3 NBA championships? He did more than that. He was benefiting and helping the Miami community. That's his home. That is literally his home. And you're disrespecting the Miami Heat legend? Boy, I don't like it at all. I think the Heat fans need to know. We're still trying to make the trade. We still have a good team. A damn good team. Do not get upset over Udonis coming back. I think it's stupid. If there's any leadership we need, it's the OG. And his name is Udonis Haslam. This episode is a little bit long. I said my piece with the Miami Marlins. The football, I'm excited. The Christmas thing, that's also been said. And yeah, come back Wednesday. We have a Hurricanes preview. We have a Hurricanes preview. And it's going live, and we're talking about the Miami Hurricanes football. We'll talk about the preview, our predictions, the stadium, and who's going to make the big impact of the Miami Hurricanes football team, and if and when we'll actually win a championship. All right, this is James for High Heat 305. On behalf of FL Teams and myself, Isaac, we have your back, and when we do, we'll be right there with you, the entertainment you deserve. Good night, everybody, and I'll see y'all Wednesday night.